Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Happy Thanksgiving for Baltimore Positive, from Luke, from I, from we, from us, from my kitty cat, from all of our sponsors as well. And I got my clean bill of health last week from our friends at GBMC, and I had my colonoscopy, so I'm screaming to everybody out there, get yours done, get yourself checked, make sure you don't have precancerous polyps as I did, and then you find out about that, and your kid even brings you cookies after that's over with. So a good week, a good weekend for the Ravens, a good week ahead for Thanksgiving and all of that. But Luke and I are not here to talk about crab cakes in the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery, although we will, and we're going to be at Deep Pasquale's in a couple of weeks doing that. But football and Lamar and injuries and Joe Flacco and Joe Burrow and the Bengals and all that stuff aside, rare is it the Thanksgiving week, Luke, that we have to take a breather from talking about the first place Baltimore Ravens, despite all their warts and issues and Lamar's health and all of that, to talk some baseball. And the curiosity level of Angelos being dead and gone, new owner, new manager, some promising players that have underperformed, another, much like the Angelos era, last place finish. I mean, a really awful, terrible turd of a baseball season. And yet, Thanksgiving week, we're still talking about, all right, what are they trying to do now? If they just dealt the number one pitcher in their organization, according to all of them, for 5 years up until recently, and got sort of a player, a rental player, really, kind of, sort of, for what it is, that was the bang of the beginning of free agency, the offseason. And then the tendering period comes, and it left even further curiosity. Luke, are the Russians running our baseball team too?
I don't know about that, but it's been a weird start to the offseason. Let's put it that way. I mean, for all the frustration about Grayson Rodriguez, I don't think anyone could have predicted that the Orioles would be trading him for Taylor Ward, who's a good player, right? I mean, in our previous conversation, I probably didn't have quite the proper tone that I wanted to express. He's a good player. I mean, he had 36 home runs last year. He drove in over 100 runs.
They're trying to replace Santander. That's what they're trying to do, right?
I don't know if it's as much that, or it's more of a mea culpa and an acknowledgement of how badly the Tyler O'Neill year one, anyway, worked out for them, right? Because, you know, it's another right-handed bat. He historically has hit left-handed pitching very well. He does have pop, right? He thinks, you know, Mike Elias said it on Friday, that they feel he's an everyday player. I mean, really, at the moment, and I guess you'd have to put Cowser there by default, really the only true everyday outfielder they have right now that would warrant that, you, no questions asked, want to play him every day. But all of that being said, he strikes out a lot. You know, his walk rate is good, but the fact that he hit 228 masked the fact that, you know, it ended up being a 317 on base percentage, as opposed to, you know, 330, or, you know, go back a few years ago, he had a 360 on base percentage with the Angels back in 22. But it's 1 year.
Dude, right? It tells me that the more I think about it, and I didn't express this last week in the first segment, we went on an hour about this, of what a turd they must think Grayson Rodriguez is, to give a pitcher with that kind of arm away, or that they think he's a turd or his arms, it's not going to happen, for them to give up on him. And he got chippy since you and I got together in regard to maybe he didn't like them so much either. So I don't know how it works out.
Yeah.
But if he goes on, he's got Jake Arrieta stuff, dude. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, he's got Kevin Gausman, who just started World Series game stuff, and they gave him away for the best side of Tyler O'Neill, or the worst side of Anthony Santander, whatever you would say, or the best side of Colton Cowser. I don't know. But, like,
and only
why would you give
a
pitcher away? Like, unless you really didn't like him.
Well,
and he didn't like you. And I tell you what, that little piece that showed up on the internet is the beginning of, we're going to be following that kid now and saying, is he going to make 28 starts in the big leagues next year, win 14 games, and pitch to a 3.3 ERA? I don't know. Pitch 180 innings at some point 2-3 years from now? I don't know. But I was stunned when I got the text, and now a week
Sure.
later, I'm scratching my head even more and seeing him get chippy and saying, maybe he said, they screwed me up. They screwed me up. I'm glad to be gone from them. It
Well,
felt a little bit like that, dude.
I think there's some of that. I full disclosure, I listened to the entire interview. It was on what it's the I can't remember the name. It's very prevalent on the internet. Ken Rosenthal's on it. Former players are on it. You know, he's for as much as he didn't have much interest in giving any updates to local Orioles reporters over the course of last season, he likes going on that show. So he went on there and look, it wasn't over the top disdain, but you could definitely sense there was
I'll show them.
he never it was funny. He referred to all the new Angels people by name, right? You know, like first name basis, like even people where he's like, I don't know who he's talking about there. But at no point did he mention Mike Elias. He just said their GM. And that was a few different times. So I thought that was interesting. But that said,
Elias has a reputation for being like not warm and fuzzy with his players, right?
I mean, in all honesty, Nestor, that's probably most general managers in this day and age. Not every. And I'm not saying that's even right, that's okay necessarily, but
These guys are real Yale prick nerds, aren't they?
it's a
Like,
very
you know what I mean? Like,
cold-hearted.
I've been up on Elias twice. He's been pleasant enough with me, but like, you have a press pass, I don't. That's A, I'll never let that. Somebody came to me the other day and said, you should stop talking about that. S what? Stop holding them accountable? That ain't happening. Not a, if I'm fogging the glass up, they're going to be held accountable for whatever discrimination they have thrust upon me or whatever their Khashoggiing of me in the media has been. But that being said, with Elias, the relationship with people, with players, with his former manager, with the city, with the fans, with Katie Griggs, like with whatever, I just. These are not people. Like I don't know what to say. Like that press conference he had with the former manager that he was firing at the end of the season. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm waiting for something that feels normal. That's all. The only thing that felt sort of normal to me that wasn't normal at all is when they were winning 2 years ago. That felt like good. I'm like, no matter what they do, no matter how weird they are, no matter how awful they are and discriminatory in the media and whatever they are, they're winning. They're a last place team now, dealing away their number one pitcher for a guy that if he hits 36 home runs next year and post up and plays 130 games and like whatever, great, great. But it is odd. I don't know, it's just
Yeah.
odd. All of it. None of this leads me to think they're rushing back to first place sometime soon.
Well, we're going to find out. And I want to be fair about this. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez wasn't their number one pitcher because he didn't pitch last year. So you can't
Right, I
say a
got
last
it.
place. Right. But I guess for me, and we talked a lot about the Rodriguez for Taylor Ward trade last week. I don't want to rehash too much of that because we do have some new material to talk about here as far as the tenders and Ryan Mountcastle and Albert Suarez and re signing Felix Bautista and what that could mean, all that. But I guess for me, with the way this offseason has started, with the way last offseason went, I'm ready to see more moves where it's not, I have to twist myself into a pretzel trying to really see the logic and the reasoning and trying to fully understand it. And, you know, when I look
Or
at
in
the
our case,
two,
go on the radio and justify
sure. And now I will say this.
interpret it.
This is a smaller move, and by no means can this better not be one of their top one or two moves for their bullpen. I love the fact that they got Andrew Kittredge back, right? I mean, that they rented him for 2 months and they got him back, and they got him back for cash, right? And that's good to see. There's no, unless you're telling me he's going to be your closer, to me, there's nothing to dislike about that move. So check off on that. Tip of
It
the
also
cap.
says that
Good.
they liked him and he liked them, I
Sure.
guess, right?
Sure. So, but that said, when I look at this deal, you know, with the Rodriguez for Taylor Ward deal, herein lies the problem. Even if Taylor Ward has a really good year for them in 2026, that's still not going to necessarily justify this trade. I mean, the bar is so low on the Angels side that even if Grayson Rodriguez steadies himself physically and becomes Dean Kramer, that's still not a very good trade for the Orioles then, because you're talking about someone who's under, especially now, I mean, he's still, he's not even at arbitration yet. A cost controlled, even if he's a league average or slightly above league average kind of guy for 3 or 4 years, that's still quite valuable. As much as fans
Yeah, his
have
arm
tried,
didn't fall off, right? He didn't
and
have a Tommy,
well,
he didn't have massive
well,
surgery,
and that,
right?
and that's the TBD part of this, right? And that's where my best effort to rationalize this is they have such a low degree, even taking into account what you mentioned, which I'm not gonna, I can't source and definitively say that, but I also can't say that I haven't had my suspicions about whether they've been on the same page. Go back to last spring. Remember, he was talking about changing his mechanics, and it didn't feel like it was a fully lockstep kind of situation right there. I don't know if he did that on his own, or maybe they had some recommendations that he didn't like, or whatever. Like, again, I don't know every intimate detail to say that definitively.
Yeah, and
However,
locker room talk would say there's a reason he's gone,
sure.
right? I mean, and that's what we're trying to discern, right?
However, if that is part of it, and if that's a bigger part of it than we think, I would still say shame on you then, for that's all you got was 1 year of Taylor Ward for him then. That tells me you could have done better. That's why I keep coming back to, they just think there's such a low degree of confidence that he's going to stay healthy, and they wonder if there's a, I don't know if this lat issue is a chronic issue. Maybe there's something in the MRI that says structurally they're not loving the back of his shoulder, and that's, there's a breakdown there. Remember, I talked a lot about this. I used the term kinetic chain, right? And as much as Grayson, even in that interview he did late last week, was talking about the bone chip, the bone spur in his elbow, and how he, there's a thought, at least doctors that he's talked to is that they've spoken about that perhaps putting too much stress on his lat, and that's what's caused some of these lat strains that he's had going back to his last year in the minors. I don't know, but I still come back to deal 4 years of Grayson Rodriguez. And look, was he going to throw 160 innings this year? I certainly would bet strongly against him throwing 160 innings for the Angels this coming season, if for no other reason that you're going to have to manage him because he didn't throw a pitch in the major leagues this past year. Hasn't thrown a pitch since late July of 2024 in the major leagues. So there's absolutely a question here. And that's why I was saying all along, I don't want to hear Grayson Rodriguez as one of your five in terms of how you're planning. I want him off to the side, and he's a wild card for you right now. And if he's healthy, then you figure it out. And if that means you move Dean Kramer or Tyler Wells to the bullpen or whatever,
And in
fine.
their mind, that means if we can get 36 home runs out of him, let's trade him right here, right now.
I guess
And we don't have to go spend $200 million on an outfielder. Okay.
I guess. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you saying that. I think that's the
Phone
logic of
calls are
where.
welcome. 481-1570. I
I
don't, like literally, I don't know where
no
we
no
are with that.
I don't think you're wrong in expressing that. I have a tough time buying into that is my problem in terms of, put it this way. And this is where we can also transition into tendering Ryan Mountcastle at $8 million. And there's more nuance to that. We'll get into that. A year ago,
You know how many
we're
tickets $8 million is? I'm just like,
no,
go
just
ahead.
wait. But a year ago, not 3 years ago, not, this isn't a year ago. If I were the Angels general manager calling up the Orioles and say, how about Taylor Ward for Grayson Rodriguez? I laughed your freaking head off at how absurd that sounds. Now, in fairness, Taylor Ward had a career season in his age 31 season, although batting average wise, not so much, but power wise, 31 doubles, 36 home runs, right? Slugged .475. I guess for me, I'm reluctant to sign off on a deal that just a year ago sounded insane. So that's where I just look at this and say, look, this wasn't me counting on Grayson Rodriguez for 2026 at a high confidence level. But he was still a wild card. He was still represented some level of upside, whether he was going to be your number three starter for half the season in the way that Trevor Rogers and Kyle Bradish
Or
came
how
on in
about
the
your
second
number
half of the
three or
season?
number two starter in 27 and 28 and
Well,
29?
of course that, but even a lesser scenario, maybe he becomes a back end bullpen arm. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the,
Tommy Hunter kind of thing?
or Zach Britton. Zach Britton became a
Oh,
best
you
closer
think a
in baseball
closer.
once.
You think
I
a,
mean, maybe. And
okay.
I'm look, I don't know. Like again, we're all spitballing here. Again, this guy might have Tommy John surgery the second week of March, and then already it's starting to look different,
Well,
right?
that's why I'm
So,
not burying Elias on this,
sure.
but he also had some chippiness, and he has the thing that nobody around here has. They compared him to Palmer and Messina, right?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And we saw it. We saw it. It wasn't Rocky
Flashes.
Coppinger. We saw him go out and pitch in the big leagues with a great degree of effectiveness, as well as injury. But when he went out and pitched, he didn't look like Dean Kramer topside. He looked like Mike Mussina topside.
Yeah, especially if you throw out his first 10 starts as a rookie when he struggled to the point where they sent him down. Remember, came back second half of this of 23. I mean, he and Bradish were a heck of a 1-2 punch. I mean, forget about the lack of experience or anything like that. The numbers were the numbers. They were that good. So,
And pennant race games too. Not, yeah.
yeah. So we've covered this, and this is going to be an ongoing discussion. I have heard some good things about Taylor Ward, even from a leadership standpoint. Maybe there is a dynamic there. And look, this guy's played for the Angels and has won nothing, right? So I don't want to overstate that part of it, because this isn't acquiring Derek Jeter or Kevin Millar or guys that have won, Freddie
See,
Freeman,
but
who's
this is
won.
also like, this is me being an old school baseball guy that had a press pass 30 years ago and hasn't the last 15 years. They hire the new manager and they bring him in. And the new manager's been in San Francisco, he's been in Tampa, he's
Sure.
been in Cleveland, he's been in every dugout. He's a baseball head, right? And how does he feel about him? Do they
Sure.
talk to him and say, "Craig, you're new here. What do you think of that guy? We know our guy. We know Grayson better than you do. And we know his mechanics, his head, where he is, how he feels about us, like all of that. We think we might need a fresh page. We're going to deal him for something, somebody. We need a big bat. Uncle Moneybags doesn't want to spend money on a free agent. So, let's go get somebody that can hit us 30 home runs." How do you feel about that guy? Do you think they bring Albernaz in on that? I don't know. I literally don't. And that's the part of me that says, who liked him,
Right.
Taylor Ward, above and beyond Mike Elias and Eve Rosenbaum, I guess.
Right. Well, and Elias did say, when he talked about this late last week, he did say that he is someone that they've eyed up the last few years. I mean, and this is the other acknowledgement that I will make here in favor of trying to defend this deal, which, as I think you can tell, I don't absolutely detest it or anything like that,
Well, they
but
know more than we do, and
right.
you and I are smart enough to
I'm
at least
skeptical.
acknowledge, right,
Sure,
that Mike
sure.
Elias has more information than we do. So to call him a dunderhead for doing this, it is a
He still could end up being one for
dude,
doing
you and
this,
I have
but
been at
yeah.
this 20 years together. I've been at this 40 years on the radio, longer than that as a fan, longer than you've been alive. There haven't been a lot of these kind of trades in this organization or many organizations in my lifetime where you give up on a pitcher in any era when you have a lot of money or you think you have a lot of money or you don't, or the way baseball is, you don't give up on young pitching unless you think it's shot, right? Like
Yeah.
I don't I like that's our conjecture, but you also think, well, the Angels aren't dummies either, and what do they see here? Where are their doctors in all of this? And the manageability of money and how much money it costs to buy a 36 home run outfielder or to buy a pitcher who has how bad you have to be to draft a pitcher that you can find a right-handed arm that say, "Hey, this guy could be a horse out of Texas
Yeah.
one day. He could be a Roger Clemens kind of guy for us," and then give him away for a bag of beans for a year. All of it's weird. So therefore, we're talking about that Thanksgiving week as opposed to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. We talk about that, Kyle Hamilton and Joe Flacco and Joe Burrow. But like the fact that we're talking about this
It's unusual in the history of the organization, and it's Barry Bloom's going to want to talk to me about this. But real baseball people are going to want to talk about this because this doesn't happen very often where you wake up and see a pitcher with this sort of topside dealt in this way. It does make us all scratch our heads and wonder what if, but we don't have the information. I go back to that.
Sure. And again, the part that it's 4 years, hypothetical as they might be right now, if you're concerned about his health, of Grayson Rodriguez as opposed to 1 year. I mean, for the Angels, there's no risk here. They weren't going anywhere in 26. Taylor Ward, it's not really a guy that profiles. You're talking about a guy who's turning 32 and coming off of a career year power-wise. That's gen and a corner outfielder at that. Generally not a profile where, especially a team that is not like on the cusp of winning a
I'm
World
chuckling
Series.
because Brady Anderson just became their batting coach.
He did. He did. Man, that was, I did a double take when I saw that. That was, but the point is, even if the Angels looked, and I know Grayson Rodriguez made the comment that he didn't undergo a physical and everything, teams exchange all the medical that they have, all the imaging, all the different medical documentation that they have when there's a trade like this. The Angels may have looked at it and said, you know what? We don't know if this is going to work out for Grayson. We're not sure if this bone spur thing is going to help his lat issues or not, but we were going to trade Taylor Ward at the trade deadline anyway, at best. Like that was the most likely scenario if it wasn't this winter. So what were we going to get that was going to be more interesting than this? Now, this Grayson Rodriguez might hurt his elbow in spring and undergo Tommy John surgery, and he might throw 100 innings over the next 4 years, right? I mean, it might be
And the
that he
Angels won't
truly is
cry over that,
shot.
right?
And they won't, because the upside play for them makes perfect sense. I mean, this is the kind of move the Orioles 4 or 5 years ago
Well, Brady was around when
would have
Grayson
made.
Rodriguez was around
Yeah.
too, right? So.
So we will continue to talk about this, but I do want to give some oxygen to the tendering decisions that they made.
Okay,
They
before I do that, I got to do Brady
hmm.
Anderson with you because I have a Brady
Okay.
story I just want to throw in.
Sure.
Because, I mean, Brady Anderson and I were close when he played here. Not the second time around, but before he worked for Angelos. But he and I were friends. I mean, we ate dinner. He sort of famously didn't drink. He wasn't like a bar guy at all. And I liked Brady, and Brady's super smart. So let me just let you in on Brady. Brady and I would always play this music game. He's really a pop culture guy. Brady loved music. Brady loved movies. Big time movie head. Brady was big time TV Seinfeld kind of guy too, big pop culture guy. But Brady's favorite movie was Shawshank Redemption. But he loved The Natural, and there's a scene in The Natural where Robert Redford says, "God, I love baseball," and that was Brady Anderson's favorite line of ever. Being a baseball player, and I knew him in the 90s when he was on posters and all of that. That he loved that. So when I think of him coming back and being a hitting coach and putting a uniform on and coming back in his late 50s, 60 now, I guess he's in his 60s. Gotta be. Well, gotta, he's older, still older than me. Still 4 years older than me, and I'm 57. So I did the math on this, Brady. I have some admiration for that. I wonder what happens when you're rich and sexy and young and awesome and beautiful and everybody wants the day, everybody loves you, and like the Billy Joel song, everybody loves you now. And this reminds me of another Uncle Nestor story, Tio Nestor. Let's call me Tio Nestor. Eddie Murray always had a reputation, right? Started by Stan Charles, that he didn't slide, didn't get his uniform dirty, was disinterested, all the things that Cal Ripken would. That anybody had ever played with Eddie Murray would tell you is bunk. Eddie didn't like the media. Eddie didn't trust. I mean, Sig famously tells the story about doing a cartoon that Eddie accosted Ken Rosenthal, who's all of 5'1". So Eddie did not have a good reputation when he left, back, whatever. And I remember back during the Mike Flanagan era of GMdom, 20, 25 years ago, being down at spring training on a cold morning, one of those 48 degree, see your breath, Fort Lauderdale mornings where we were doing live radio at 6 in the morning, and the sun wasn't even, it was dark. And we set up outside the dugout in Fort Lauderdale to do radio at 6 in the morning, freezing, they're cutting the lawn.
sweatshirts on, just awful. Sun coming up. It's February 20 something, 21st, 20th. They're not even in games, nowhere near games, not even an inner squad. They're in like fungos. And there's Eddie Murray with a cup of coffee at 6:12 in the morning, walking to the backfields with six guys wearing a uniform, wearing 33, with a fungo bat, cup of coffee, with six guys, number 73, 74, 82, 91, guys that were A ball players, double A, organizational guys. And he was out playing baseball with them at 6 o'clock in the morning in February in the cold. So, guys that love baseball, I just want to say that's why you and I are here in November talking about baseball, because we love baseball. And City always loved baseball. And the hot stove part of this is, how do we get better? How do we win a World Series here? Well, you get the right manager. I'll tip my cap and say, okay, they got top of class manager. And then they're going to make all of these moves, but really curious moves. And you're about to talk about tendering and money and getting into that. But I just wanted to give that story because people were scratching their heads about Brady Anderson. And in a moment, I thought he always quoted that movie. God, I love baseball. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's had a great life and a great, he's this beautiful man and a sexy man and a healthy man. And he made a lot of money and he hit a lot of home runs and probably did some things back in the 90s. But I would also say, going back to baseball and going back to what you love to do, I'm not shocked by it. How about that? Because I don't, what, there's nothing else he'd rather be doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I'll chip in here a little bit with my thoughts on it. That I mean, you think about the role that he had, good or bad, right? And we know that the Duquette Buck Showalter era, especially as it went on, at times was not kumbaya. It wasn't, fully as functional as you'd like it to be. And Brady Anderson was kind of a wild card in that, right? Where, I mean, he famously would work behind the scenes with certain players, and sometimes that was considered a positive, and sometimes that was considered, is he saying the same thing as what the major league coaching staff's saying or what they're saying in the minor leagues, right? And that whole issue of not having one consistent message from rookie league and the Gulf Coast League all the way up to the majors, right?
For
That was
what
part of
it's
the
worth, when he was here, they won. When he was
sure.
in leadership at the Orioles, they won some games. So good, he can associate with that for sure.
They did, but they also lost some games, and there was an end to that. And when Mike Elias came in, when John Angelos became the control person for the organization, I think, it was never said on the record wise, but I think it was very clear that Mike Elias and Sig Meidel and all the people coming over from Houston, that no, Brady's sticking around and being in this kind of roving instructor, half assistant general manager, half.
Was an eye. He was an Angelos was famous for this. Angelos always put one of his people in every room. It was like a
Sure.
mafia deal. He was a
So.
consigliere. He was a middle guy to speak to ownership and was always perceived as
Right.
such, as was Rick Dempsey, as was a whole bunch of different
Sure.
people. Mike Flanagan, that was his whole role, was to be the eyes for Angelos, and then he hired him. That it was an Angelos family tradition, and Brady kept that alive.
Sure. That said, considering that ended in 2018, I'm in agreement with you. And Brady certainly has forgotten more about baseball than you and I will ever know. I'm glad for, if this was something he wanted, I'm glad for him to get the opportunity to do this. It'll be interesting to see how he does as a full-blown coach, right? I mean, so definitely interesting to see that. But as we bring it back to the Orioles, and so much of the conversation has been about Grayson Rodriguez for Taylor Ward and what that's going to look like. And we'll continue to, you and I are probably going to have that conversation. I mean, this could be a conversation we're having 3 years from now if Grayson Rodriguez blossoms into an all-star pitcher for the Angels and Taylor Ward's playing for, I don't know, the Dodgers in 2 years, whatever. But, I think you look at their list of players that they had, to make a decision on tendering a contract, of course. For full clarification here, you tender someone a contract that is arbitration eligible. That does not guarantee their whatever their salary is going to be for the full season. There are still things that can happen here. They can still make a trade. You can cut someone at the end of the spring and you're only forced to pay a certain percentage. If you recall, they actually did that with Miguel Gonzalez a decade ago, at a time where I didn't like the move, but they saved some money doing that. But I can't sit here and say that I was not surprised when they tendered Ryan Mountcastle, who, let's face it, has trended in the wrong direction for multiple years now. I mean, go back to 2021. Since then, his home run rate has gone down every single year. His strikeout rate spiked this year. His walk rate has dropped quite a bit the last 2 years, and that's saying something for someone who never drew a lot of walks. Lots of people have drawn the conclusion that, oh, well, this must mean that they're open to trading Kobe Mayo. Look, this has not for me, this has little to do with that. If you're going to trade Kobe Mayo to go get a frontline starting pitcher, fine. My argument would be Ryan Mountcastle being an everyday first baseman for a team that has eyes on contending and making a playoff run and getting to a World Series. I'm not feeling that
It's
way
been a
about him.
long time since I felt good about him.
Yeah. So Mike Elias talked a lot about depth. He talked about the fact that they had injuries last year. But I will say this, and this is kind of the same thing that I did when I talked about the rationalization of trading Grayson Rodriguez for Taylor Ward and how insane that would have sounded 6 months ago or a year ago. Put it this way. Ryan Mountcastle's numbers, we know what they were. They were not good this year. I mean, he had seven home runs. He missed 70 plus games with a hamstring injury. Well, and not just for that, but he was benched basically the final month of the season because they wanted to see Kobe Mayo. But he had a 653 OPS. He struck out 98 times. He walked 15 times in 357 plate appearances. He did not hit for power. He slugged 367. So my argument here would be, and I think he's projected to make 7.8 million in arbitration. If the Orioles signed an unnamed player to play first base with those numbers for 7.8 million, look, it's not my money, and I want them to spend money, but at the same time, I'm cognizant that there's not an unlimited supply here. They're not the Dodgers that they're going to, even if they elevate the payroll substantially, it's not a true blank check over and over and over. That's where I look at this and say, are you really going to be able to trade them? I mean, is some team really going to want them for $7.8 million? If you're going to trade Kobe Mayo, is this, I mean, he didn't even hit left-handed pitching all that well this past year. So I kind of look at this and I kind of
You
lump
think the
this.
money into him is bad money in a general sense because, like, no one's going to want him because of the money, right?
Yeah, because I kind of feel, I mean, you could have traded him at any point from the end of the World Series until now. And look, maybe there is a deal. And let me be clear, if there is a deal, you're getting a couple 17-year-old Dominican prospect lottery tickets, right? I mean, I don't think you're getting, I mean, maybe, I don't know if there's some scenario where you could him and something else for an okay reliever, I don't know. I look at that and that falls into the category.
Ryan Mountcastle.
I mean, and
No offense,
who
but who's going to deal for him? What
I mean, I
is
just
their role for him that the
and
Orioles' role wouldn't be, other than maybe he'll hit 28 home runs again sometime if we give him 200 at bats? I don't know.
but he and so much was made about the wall at Camden Yards, in 22 and 23, and I'll hear it to a point, but the wall came back in this past year and his power was not even close to being there. So I don't know. For me, I just look at it through the lens of, and look, this is not another, I'm outraged by this move. Like, let's be clear. There's a lot that can happen here. And this doesn't mean he's going to be their everyday first baseman, although, like I said, better not be, quite frankly. That's not doing well enough there. Even if you trade Mayo, even if Basayo's playing a lot of first base, I still, because I question whether it's a great use of whatever your resource limit is. I question whether it's a great use of $7.8 million. In the same way that signing Gary Sanchez to an $8 million contract last year was, I question that, right? I mean, Tyler O'Neill, he was that worked that turned out way worse than I even thought it would be.
Well,
I
they
didn't
need to
love
make
it.
some good decisions. And I don't know. And it doesn't need to be decisions that
And
you and I think are good,
right.
decisions that wind up being good. So if it's we're going to keep Mountcastle and we're going to show you, first 200 at bats of the year, he's going to be hitting 280 and he's going to have a dozen home runs again.
Need to see power. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
first base is a power position, right? I mean, and yes, his defense has gotten way better over the years to the point where he's a really solid first baseman defensively. I'm not paying $8 million for that. Like, I need, if he's going to actually be on the roster, boy, they need to see way, way better from him offensively than they've gotten the last year and a half. I mean, so that's where I look at that and say, look, at the end of the day, if they're going to take the payroll, if they're willing to take the payroll to $180 million, whatever it all ends up being, I'm just throwing that out there as an arbitrary number, then okay, $7.8 million, that's not going to make or break you. It's, they didn't sign him to a 4-year deal. Like, I don't want to make this out to be too much, but I certainly question, is this going to give you the most flexible roster, even if he's a part-time player for you? Is this truly going to be, could you do better there? And that's where I look at this and say, even if you're not a believer in Cobie Mayo as the right-handed part of a platoon with Bosio at first
You
base.
keep saying they're going to deal him. Show me
Well,
your hand here on
I'm
this.
not saying they will, but I'm saying, but people have
They got to
talked
deal
about,
somebody to our point, right?
but
If
I
they're
mean,
going to
if
get a
no,
pitcher in a deal of
they need
some
to sign a,
kind.
no, they need to sign a pitcher. I mean, like, and this is part of my frustration with the Taylor Ward thing. And look, I will fully acknowledge there is not an abundance of right-handed power bats on the free agent market. Okay, so I'm acknowledging that,
And they
but this,
got theirs without spending money on
but
them.
this is also what's frustrating to me, because you build up this farm system, and this goes back the last few years now. You build up this farm system to have this core in place. You saved a ton of money in the process of stinking for 5 years, right? You didn't spend money on major league payroll. I understood that, but now you get to this point where you have new ownership, and you should have all this flexibility to spend money, and you have all these assets, which, look, I'm not opposed to trading, but when the majority of what you're doing is coming via trades, what's that doing in the process? It's depleting your system. And I look at this, and that's where I do go back to the Taylor Ward thing and say, and the skeptical point, but a fair point nonetheless, is, hey, they got that for $13 million on a no commitment beyond 2026, compared to signing someone to a 4-year deal or a 5-year deal, right? So, but that's where I, go spend money, go buy a pitcher, like buy one, not trade for one, spend money and get one, right? That's what I want to see, instead of, because you're doing that, and I'm not picking on you. Lots of people are saying that. I've said that at times, certainly, and they did it for Corbin Burns. I continue to say, 2 years later, I love the Corbin Burns trade. Still would have done it, knowing exactly how it turned out. I do that 100 times out of 100. But especially since you went and traded for a bat, and I'm guessing, maybe they'll prove me wrong. I'd be pleasantly surprised if they do. But I'm guessing Taylor Ward's their big bat acquisition for the offseason. Well, if that's the case, go sign pitching, because you have money to spend. Even based off of what they spent last year, they have plenty of money to spend. Go buy a pitcher. If you want to trade for another guy, sure. If you want to trade for a closer, I'll hear that. But they have money to spend in free agency. Go do it, and go spend it wisely, and go get a pitcher, and hope he stays healthy, because that you're at the mercy of that for any pitcher, right? I mean, so, but. Seeing this Taylor Ward deal, and seeing this Mountcastle tender, that again, I mean, all things being equal, Nestor, I would have been of the thought of considering non-tendering him last winter, let alone keeping him around for another year. I mean, so I hope he proves me wrong. I like Ryan Mountcastle a lot personally. He has dealt with some injuries the last year and a half, but man, we're a long way away from his 2021 season, where he hit 33 bombs, had a 796 OPS, and was looking like a guy that you could just confidently pencil in as a power hitting first baseman for the next 6 years. That guy's declined quite a bit the last few years, and maybe the new coaching staff, maybe Albernaz, maybe their hitting coach is coming in. They see a very obvious tweak that maybe the previous hitting coaches didn't see. Maybe that's part of the conversation here. To your point, you hope Mike Elias is asking for input here. It's not that Albernaz is calling the shots, but you want input, you want dialogue, you want communication, and discourse when it comes to your players. So maybe there's some of that at work, but my read right now, understanding it's Thanksgiving and man, we're a long ways from spring training, let alone opening day. I certainly am not going to sign off on the idea of just penciling in Ryan Mountcastle as your everyday first baseman as they have the last 3 or 4 years. No. I mean, even if you trade Cobie Mayo, then I'm still not comfortable and enamored with the idea that you're just going to play Mountcastle every day. And, we're going to see how it plays out, but it does kind of lead to there's only so many at bats to go around here. You have so many of these first base DH corner outfield guys that, I hear depth, but you can't talk about how much you value depth when you just traded away your former number one pitching prospect for a guy that you're going to have for 1 year, at maybe. So we're going to see how it plays out. Again, I'm not outraged by it, but I'm not going to lie. I was surprised. I thought we were going to see Ryan Mountcastle non-tendered because honestly, I think he's a guy that they were probably at times at least willing to listen to trade offers and looking to deal him, probably going back to last winter, let alone what's played out since then with him coming off of a season where he was a replacement level first baseman. I mean,
Well, what do you
650.
expect next for them at this point? Like, I keep waiting for whatever, the other shoe to drop or whatever. I don't know what that even means in their case because I don't want to say I'm stunned by the beginning of all of it. I will be stunned that they spend $142 million on a baseball player. Like,
Well, until they
that
do
hasn't
it.
happened around here. And I'm just watching the new ownership flip around and him making a bobblehead of himself and all of that, and just the way I've been treated and the way that I see the way that they're operating and putting their tickets on sale and their corporate schmarm and all of that. I expect the unexpected, but I don't expect anything that's going to wow me or move me in the direction of, oh, I see what they're doing because I'm not. I'm very unclear, and they want me to be unclear. They do not want to communicate with the fan base with any sort of clarity about most of this, and that for that they will get no off-season enthusiasm from anywhere other than where they earn it, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
And their fans are pissed. By the way, whoever's running their Twitter apparently blocked half of their fans last week.
I saw some, like, I mean, I,
What are they doing? What are
yeah.
they
And
doing?
look, let's face it, there are plenty of people on Twitter who weren't being blocked. If you get
Yeah, but
into,
these were people in the conversation of the fan base that if you
Assuming,
did 2 minutes of any sort of work on any of these
sure.
people, they just love the Orioles, man.
Right. And again, short of saying anything that, over the top foul language, racist, hateful type of talk. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Last place
But
baseball team.
I'll
With a
go back to,
history of being awful all of your life, that you don't have any problem bringing it up because it's true.
but I'll go back to a point I made a little bit earlier in this discussion, and probably a place where we could stop because we're gonna have plenty to talk about. And I'm with you in terms of waiting for the next move. And that's kind of just the nature of the business, right? I mean, free agency's been open for a while
Well, the
now.
fact that we're still engaged when the football team's playing because we
Sure.
think like you're not the Angelos is be better. Do
Yeah.
better, all of
Well,
you.
and this is
Let's act like you have your act together. I don't think they do. There's been no. People come to me all the time. I'm like, they treat me worse than the Angelos people treated me, and they have no reason to. None. But that's who they are. And the arrogance of Katie Griggs just oozed off of her 2 weeks ago when I was in. She didn't care to meet anybody from Baltimore or hang out or learn about that. All she wants to do is get the All-Star game and sell you something. And okay. Here comes the caravan. How much does that cost? I'm just sort of like I'm blown away by all of it, but it doesn't make me stop caring about it. Doesn't make me stop talking about it. Doesn't make me stop wondering, but I'm not smelling success here right yet.
I'm waiting for the move, and I said this earlier in our conversation, and I will continue to say it. I'm waiting for them to make the move. Boom. Awesome.
That makes
They did.
us enthusiastic.
They
We
did it with
want to be
Kobe.
enthusiastic as much as they think I want to hate their team.
There was
Sure.
nothing to question whatsoever, other than the fact that he was a rental when they got Corbin Burns, right? DL Hall, sure. Could he have been in the back end of the Orioles bullpen the last couple of years? Joey Ortiz, could he have been the Orioles utility guy and replaced Ramon Urias or Jorge Mateo, who's now gone? Sure. But there was no, you didn't have to rack your brain to kind of figure out what they're thinking here or what this means for this, and this.
Hey, by the way,
It
even
was.
when they dealt Sowers and Norby away, there was no questions what they were thinking. They were thinking maybe Rogers will be the opening day starter in 26, and he will be.
Yeah, I
Well,
mean, yeah, but even that was part of a, you know, Trevor
I'm
Rogers
trying
and
to bring Elias some
sure.
flowers here
No,
too.
no,
You
no.
know, be
I
fair and
and
balanced.
let me be clear. This isn't me saying that every like Ramon Laureano was a great signing last year. As bad as Tyler O'Neill was, Laureano was a great signing, right? And they
And
parlayed
Sanchez
that
was a
in.
terrible signing, and
Sure,
Kimbrel was an
I
awful
mean, you
signing.
know,
And
I mean,
yeah, Kichwich was so
so
good they went back and got him again, even though he was hurt
yeah,
at the beginning of the year.
it was hurting. That didn't help their
By the time
bullpen
he
early on.
started the pitch, they
But
were 20 games out.
I want to see that move where I don't need to explain it to you, right? We had to explain why they're trading 4 years of Grayson Rodriguez for 1 year of Taylor Ward. And I follow it to a point, but even then, I'm making some very strong assumptions here about the long-term health and viability of Grayson Rodriguez to rationalize that trade. Ryan Mountcastle, again, I don't. Tendering Ryan Mountcastle is not going to make or break your offseason. I want to be clear about that. However, when we're in this spot of not knowing how high the payroll is going to go, how many roster spots you're going to have, wanting to have the most flexible roster you can have, right? Because you know you're only going to have a four-man bench. I look at that and say, is that the best use of $7.8 million if he's on your opening day roster? And even if that means you're trading Kobe Mayo for something else potentially, do I really want to give 500 at bats to Ryan Mountcastle based on how he's played the last couple of years? I'm ready to see a move or two, or hopefully more than that, even where I say, boom, check it off. That guy's a stud of a late inning reliever, or that guy's maybe he won't be their number one, but he's definitely going to be their number two. And now they have that pitcher with Kyle Bradish and Trevor Rogers, or whatever it might be. Give me a move to get excited about that. I'm not sitting here like, what are they really trying to do here? Or what were they really thinking here? Or why would they do that? So that's what I'm waiting for. Does that mean it's going to happen here in the next 3 days or the next week or before the winter meetings early next month? Not necessarily, because you see how the market's moving. All the top free agents are still out there, right? I mean, that's baseball compared to the NFL or the NBA. I mean, it's part of the reason why the sport economically is broken, right? I mean, that you're not seeing those players signed far more quickly than they are. But, you know, I just give me a move that I don't have to do that with, where I just say, boom, they are absolutely a better baseball team than they were the day before. And look, I guess in some way you can say that about Taylor Ward if you just thought Grayson Rodriguez was never going to pitch again, ever. And, you know, I think that's a little fatalistic, but I certainly have my doubts about him and his health. But, you know, again, go buy someone, right? Go spend money and sign someone, you know, and someone that you say right now, man, the Baltimore Orioles are a better team because they just signed that guy.
Make me
That's what
excited. Get me
I'm
excited.
waiting
Come on,
for. Yeah,
Katie. Come on, Mike. Come
sure.
on, David Rubenstein. Come on, Eric Getty. All right. Luke is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We're still talking baseball here, as well as football. We got you covered on Thanksgiving night. Any breaking news in regard to injuries, in regard to injury reports, all on the WNST text service. That's brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Bill Cole and I were talking AI a couple of weeks ago. I have turned my AI ski cap backwards into working on things here through the holidays. And, I'm around. I'm easy to find. I'm Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. He's Luke at WNSD. We're both out on the interwebs, out on the social medias. Throw us email. Say hello. Happy holidays to everybody. Go eat some pumpkin pie. Enjoy your family. Get some eggnog while you can. Get your favorite ice cream. Get a good Cool Whip on top. get extra Cool Whip on top. And especially on Thursday night, we got some football ahead as well, playing the big Thanksgiving game this week. So, hey, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Baseball, football, all sorts of things ahead, including some great Baltimore positive conversations on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Stay with us.